Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our meditation this morning is a portion of the gospel beginning at verse 31 of the 8th chapter of Mark, which I'll read again for our hearing. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after three days rise again. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And he called to him the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? For what can a man give in return for his life? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in glory of his Father and with the holy angels." This is a hard Lenten lesson. Please be seated. Dearest brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, the 8th chapter of Mark is a turning point in our Lord's ministry. Just as many of you have come to turning points or will come to turning points in your lives, when you come to this crossroad, sometimes you have to make a very, very hard decision. Sometimes our decisions are wrong. Sometimes we make the wrong decision and we go the wrong way. Yet Jesus, we know, always makes the right decision, the perfect decision. And it's a decision that's already been made by Him and His Father. You see, the decision that Jesus makes was decided in the Garden of Eden. When He told Satan that He would crush his head, but that Satan would bruise his heel. So Jesus has now come into the region of Caesarea Philippi. It's an area that's northeast of the Sea of Galilee. It's about 6 days prior to Jesus going up onto the Mount of Transfiguration, of whom He takes Peter, James, and John. But before He goes up on the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus has a question. It's a very important question. "Who do you say that I am?" Who do you say that Jesus is? Peter gives the right answer. Peter responds and he confesses by saying, "You are the Christ." And I pray, dear ones, that is your response when Jesus asked you, "Who do you say that I am?" "Jesus, you are the Christ. You are my Savior." So now comes the turning point. His disciples have now come to a crossroad because they now hear a hard Lenten lesson. And what is this lesson that Jesus tells them? He tells them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and that He will be killed, and that He will be laid in the ground and resurrected after 3 days. Jesus is telling the disciples His role and His mission. He's telling His disciples that He has come to be a suffering servant. As a matter of fact, this text tells us, not only us, but the whole world, of why Jesus came into the world, to be a suffering servant. He has come to suffer many things, and to be killed and die upon a cross, and then be placed into the ground, into a tomb. But He will be resurrected after 3 days. You see, what Jesus speaks is truth. And the text tells us, Mark tells us, that Jesus spoke these words very plainly. Did you notice? There's no lofty rhetoric. There's no blazing oratory. No fancy, confusing words. Jesus clearly tells them that he's going to Jerusalem, that he will suffer many things by the hands of the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees, and he will be put to death. But then he will rise after 3 days. Crystal clear to me. Should have been crystal clear to the disciples. But it wasn't. Jesus is speaking the truth, the gospel truth, very plainly, very openly, very clearly, and very boldly. Dear ones, what Jesus is speaking here in our text this morning about him suffering and dying and rising is pure gospel. You see, sometimes we human beings, we miss the gospel because our hearts and our minds are so wrapped around the law all the time. You see, the law is easy for us. Yet many times the gospel becomes very difficult for us because we like to think, I have to help Jesus save me. And that's why the gospel is sometimes polluted. No fancy rhetoric, no confusing words, pure gospel. Yet, what does Peter do? We can almost see it. Peter taking Jesus by the elbow and he kind of guides him away from the other disciples and he begins to rebuke him, telling him that the Messiah can never die. Jesus, you can't go to Jerusalem. You're not going to die. You can go there, but you're not going to be put to death because you're the Messiah. You know, actually, Peter's intent is actually very good. But there's a problem. Peter is not God. Remember, I've already told you that Jesus' mission as the suffering servant has already been set by his Father in the Garden of Eden. Therefore, Jesus is going to follow the will of his Father. Jesus is not going to follow the will of Peter, nor is he going to follow our will. By rebuking Jesus, Peter is actually placing himself over and above Jesus. And he's telling Jesus what's actually better for him. Jesus, you don't want to go to the cross. That's not good for you. No, we want you to stay alive and make us co-lords with you. Peter was thinking about himself. He was thinking about maybe his other disciples too. But he could not fathom the idea of Jesus going to the cross and suffering many things and dying and being buried. It's interesting that they missed the resurrection part. Their minds are so wrapped up in Jesus dying that they miss that he's going to rise after 3 days. You see what's actually occurring here, dear ones. Jesus tells us what Peter is speaking are actually words given to him by Satan. As we heard last week, Satan tempts Jesus not to obey his Father's will. Satan tempts Jesus in the wilderness to shortcut the Father's will. Jesus, you don't want to follow your Father's will. After all, did God really say, if you are the Son of God, shortcuts. Take the shortcut, Jesus. You don't have to go here. You can do it a better way. But the better way is not God's way. So our Lord rebukes Peter in the very same way that he rebukes Satan in the wilderness. He uses the very same Greek words, as a matter of fact. Those Greek words literally mean, Satan, get out of my sight. Get behind me. Get away from me. Why? Because you don't think of the things of God. I'm going to follow my Father's will. You're thinking of the things of man. And the things of man never consider death as being a release to life. You see, Jesus will not take any shortcuts. He will fulfill his Father's will. Since Jesus thinks just as his Father thinks, Thanks be to Jesus. You see, the plan of salvation, dear ones, must be completed. Jesus must do this, as you've just heard with the children, because of His great love for each and every one of you. He must do that which was given to Him to do, to go to Jerusalem, to suffer many things, to be nailed to a cross, to be lifted up naked for the world to see, and to die upon that cross, to physically die for the sins of the whole world. He who knew no sin now becomes sin for you and for me. And because He has done this, we now are given freely His righteousness. We are saved by Jesus' work. And then Jesus does something very interesting. He then turns to His disciples and to the crowd, and He tells them, "Y'all come here." Jesus using a little Texas slang. "Y'all come here. I got something to tell you." Jesus calls them and tells them, everyone, that if you're going to follow Me, you must deny yourself. You must trust only in Me. You must be willing to die. You must be willing to suffer for My namesake. We must deny ourselves, dear ones. And for us sinful human beings, that is very, very difficult to do. After all, we live in a society that's very much me. Me, myself, and I. We see our young people, and I'm not picking on all of you, but I see more of this than I see more of this. A very self-centered society. You must agree with me that it's very hard for us today to deny ourselves. Very hard for people who are in the world to deny themselves. They are so wrapped up in themselves that for them to deny themselves is a near impossibility. Yet by doing so, Jesus tells us that when you do deny yourself and that you do trust Him, follow Him, oh, you're going to suffer. You're going to suffer greatly in this life. You're going to be persecuted and called all kinds of names. And you may even be killed because you're a Christian. You're going to be killed because of the name of Jesus. You see, dear ones, Jesus is clearly telling His disciples then and His disciples today that you must not place your trust in worldly treasures and pleasures. You must not place these worldly things above heavenly things, above the things that God gives us. We must place our heart and mind and trust those things that are heavenly, those heavenly treasures, and those heavenly pleasures to come. After all of these heavenly treasures and pleasures, they have been won for you, and they are being given freely to you. Therefore, deny yourself, follow Jesus, and live. Not to deny yourself, not to deny yourself, the thought is so horrendous. Not to deny the world, to trust only in the world and to follow the ways of the world will result in something very, very dire, something very, very deadly. You see, Jesus exposes the desire of the human heart. We want to think that we can save ourselves. And therefore, Jesus reveals the consequence of our works righteousness, of our evil hearts. By attempting to save our lives by what we do, we are taking the easy way out. And when we take the easy way out, we are actually repudiating the Word and we're repudiating our Lord Jesus Christ. By refusing to follow Him and Him alone will result in eternal rejection. Those of you who are suffering right now, you suffer for a reason. You heard it in the readings from Romans this morning. That suffering, my dear friends, builds perseverance. And that perseverance gives you character. And character gives us hope. And hope will never, ever fail. We know this. Jesus is a lesson for us in this. I know the suffering that many of you have, but take heart. Trust in Jesus. Yes, you suffer now, but when He comes with His holy angels, you will never, ever suffer again. But what about those who want to follow the ways of the world? Who want to partake all the time of me, myself, and I, and partake of the worldly pleasures and treasures? They don't want to suffer in this world. They want to be happy and go lucky, eat, drink, and be merry. But then Jesus returns, and what will they do? They can't buy their way into heaven. There's nothing that they can do to appease Jesus and His holy righteousness and His just judgment. So therefore, Jesus is clear. Since they were not willing to suffer in this life, oh, they will suffer, but they will suffer eternally in hell with Satan and all of his evil angels. You see, in hell is a place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. I know that there is weeping among us, but that weeping will stop, and Jesus will wipe every tear from your eye. I know that in this life it seems like the worm will never die, our sin will never go away, but it will. Jesus has died for that sin. But for those who turn away from Jesus and refuse to follow Him, oh, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth forever. And their worm will never die, and they will suffer eternally, separated from God. My dear brothers and sisters, Jesus goes to the cross so that you will be saved. So that you will suffer, not in heaven, you will suffer here on earth for a time, for a very short time. But compare that short time to eternity. There is no comparison. Jesus has opened the gates of heaven for you. And with Him, there is no suffering. In heaven, there is eternal joy and peace forever. And when He returns, He will bring His kingdom with Him, and His kingdom of glory you will live in forever and ever. Yes, Jesus teaches us today a very hard Lenten lesson: to deny ourselves, to suffer in this life, to follow Jesus, be willing to be rejected by the world, but to be accepted by your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. After all, what has He done for you? He has won the victory. It is Jesus who has won the victory. Remember last week, the first question that I asked you was, who won? Because of what He has done here for you, you don't have to ask that question, because you know who won. Jesus Christ, the one who came and suffered and died and was buried, but rose on the third day and is coming again with all of His holy angels for each and every one of us. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly indeed. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.